Father, we ask you to open our hearts to your word, that you may touch us and lead us, that you may take hold of our hearts and our wills, that our lives may be changed in your power, through Christ our Lord. Amen. A man fell over a cliff, and as he was going down, there was a tree that was growing out of the side of the cliff, and he took hold of it. And he wasn't at all a religious man. But it's amazing what circumstances like that can do to your religion. And so he looked up, and he said, out of his dismay and his despair, "Is anyone there?" And to his great surprise, a voice from heaven came saying, "Let go." So he looked down, and then he looked up again. He said, "Is anyone else there?" You know, often we learn most in life by letting go, and sometimes it can be quite hard and quite painful. If you've ever been a mother, or I guess a father for that matter, who for the first day of your child at school, they've let go of your hand and they've gone into the school and you don't see them. I remember with our eldest girl, when she was first at school, I had to have quite a few paper handkerchiefs ready when we left her at the school. Or maybe it's a bit later in life when your children are maybe getting married, or at least going away and stopping living with you because they're going away to work, and you think, well, I've done my best, but goodness me, they're out there now and they're on their own, and you have to somehow let go. And in both those cases, of course, you let go for the betterment of the child or the young person. Or maybe it's something like friends leaving your neighborhood or your church, and you know that you have to let them go in order that they may find new avenues of life. Or when you're moving house, or when you're moving a job, you're saying farewell to people. When, as I know from my own experience, when you're retiring, you say farewell to a way of life that you've known for many, many years. You say farewell to a group of colleagues that have relied upon you and you have relied upon them. And somehow you have to let go. And if you do, you do find that there are surprises ahead and new things ahead. Perhaps the most difficult but most common one is letting go of someone who you know and who is dying. And most of us have been through that experience in one form or another, of actually not only letting them go, letting them die, but letting them go out of your life, not out of your memory, but out of your life, so that you don't cling, but that you let them go to a new life and you discover new potential in your own life. Now, from the gospel for today, Jesus knew all about the difficulty of letting go. Almost every verse is about Jesus letting go of something. In the first place, in verse 12, he says that Matthew tells us that John the Baptist has been arrested. Now, John and Jesus were close colleagues, as you know. And John had been arrested, and it was highly likely in those circumstances that Jesus would ever see him again. He had to let go of John and the support that John gave him. It says in verse 13 and 14 that he left Nazareth and he left all the domesticity and the security of the place where he'd grown up, where he'd been apprenticed as a carpenter, and where he knew everybody in the community. And he left and went to Capernaum. And Capernaum was at the crossroads, a commercial crossroads. It was a highly significant place of communication. And he had to go there, where there was a different kind of synagogue, a different kind of, quote, church. There was a different kind of feel altogether. There was a lot of bustle, as distinct from the comfort of their family home in Nazareth. And Matthew, actually, in this passage, reminds us in verses 15 and 16 that the prophet Isaiah actually reminded the whole people that they were to move and let go of darkness and move into a period of light. And Matthew, the Jewish writer, writing for Jewish Christians, actually reminds them of this, that they are to move into the light that God is preparing for them. And this, says Matthew, is the moment. This is the moment that Jesus is here, that light is beginning to dawn. And Jesus, in verse 17, has a message of letting go. He says, my message is one of repentance, which means, in fact, turning around and actually letting go, even of the things that you really rather enjoy and you really rather hold on to. And whatever it is, it might be extremely subtle in your life that you like to hang on to that little bit of responsibility because it gives you a little bit of confidence. It may be that you like to hang on to that opinion which others are questioning, and God is saying, just let it go for a minute and see what there is beyond that when you've let it go. Or it may be a particular obsession, a little sin or a big sin, that God says, you have to let this go because there won't be real life beyond it unless you let it go. And then comes this call in verses 19 and 22, the call to let go. Imagine what it must have been like for Peter and Andrew and James and John, actually, you know, with quite a flourishing little business, and all their families and relatives in that small community on the lakeside. And Jesus said, I want you to let go of all that and just come with me. All the securities that that offers, I want you to, as it were, push out into the deep. And then in verse 23, there is a sign here that Jesus was going beyond the domestic and neighborhood scene and into the wider world. He was speaking of the whole of Galilee. He was soon, as we know, to go to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, he was to speak of his message to the whole world. And sometimes we can get so bound up in our own little parochial attitudes that we forget that God is the God of the whole world, that he wants us to go out into our Galilee. He needs us to go into Jerusalem. He needs us to go into the world, whatever that will be for us. And sometimes just put in perspective the local things that we've become perhaps obsessed with. So Jesus knew about letting go at very many different stages of his life. He taught about letting go when he called his disciples and spoke of repentance. And of course we know that he died. He died letting go. And there's the clue to all letting go, isn't it? That Jesus died to let go for us all. That new life may become a possibility. And it was only by him letting go that all that became possible. And perhaps some of that Jesus experience does link up with some of our either little experiences or big experiences. As we're coming up to a time of personal reflection during Lent, preparing for facing up to the fact that Jesus let go and found new life, preparing for all that, we perhaps need just to question whether there are things about us personally, about us corporately, that we need to let go. It was so from the beginning in the early church. If you read the epistle for today, you've heard the epistle, you see that here is a church that was actually being asked to let go of its divisions about Paul and Apollos and all that. We find new life so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. The cross of Christ is about that letting go. And we find new life in our corporate life by saying yes to the cross and yes to resurrection and new life. So letting go to make way for new beginnings. You will know far better than I do how that can be applied in your life and in the life of this Christian community in this place. But be sure it's a call that comes to every Christian and every Christian community. It's a mark of Christian living for the church as a whole and for individuals to be able to let go in order that Christ may live in us afresh. And so, as together we take this little walk through Lent, that is a big question for each of us. What is God asking me, asking you, to let go of? Some attitude, some persistent obsession, some questioning of ourselves. What is God asking us to let go of, to make room for something new in Christ? Amen.